I can borrow a phrase from a great friend of the program, we are back like a bad habit, but better than you've ever had it. Live from the Five Hole is back from hiatus. We are here. John has been in the film room for 3 straight weeks. He is bursting with thoughts. Slack is bursting with thoughts. And Matt just has red bursting crotch dots. But that's okay. We're here to provide it all for you. I am Sam Fells, your host of the Sam Fells But Who's Buying newsletter. You can find me on Blue Sky at Fells Gate. Of course, Bears preseason about to kick into full gear, so we are in fatal four-way formation. Leading off with Dr. Viral. He is the biggest jackass, no talent in the business, and he's the CEO of WBCW on Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night at 9 Central and 4 Friday nights per year, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. He is Andrew Cieslak.
It's been a while.
This it has stained. You can find Slack on Blue Sky at Torque Penderloin. He's working the ones and twos for us tonight. He's our supervising technician and our technical supervisor. He's Matt McClure.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan. You can find Matt on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. And last but not least, he's the goal line assassin. He is the Oracle of Humboldt Park. He's Fifth Feather John.
It's so good to be back, Sam.
Thank you very much, Liam Gallagher. You can't find John on Blue Sky at Fifth Feather, but he might find you from there.
Depends on what you're saying.
Depends on what you're saying, but he's lurking. He's in the ether. So as I told the boys during a pre-show meeting, I know John and Slack have been going back and forth. You should see the Real Show text thread. They've got thoughts. They are angry. They are excited. They're everything at once. They don't know what to be. So I am just turning it over to John to lead us off.
Well, we're just ready for them pads to be cracking for real, Sam.
Well, it's still weeks away from that.
I know, but we're itching at the bit.
But the kids want to know
And
what you
chomping.
think.
Itching at the bit is the new
Itching
one.
at the
At the
bit.
bit.
They're itching at the bit.
We're bitching at the it as well.
Chomping at our scars.
Isn't it champing?
I thought it was chomping.
Either
I think it's
way,
chomping.
I'm fairly certain it's champing.
You might be right.
You're the
John,
writer.
the kids want to know your thoughts on training camp so far. You've got thoughts on actual camp. You've got thoughts on the coverage of camp.
Day camp?
Oh, I mean, it's too damn
Sleepaway
long, but
camp?
we know that. It's
It
too
is
damn
way too
long.
long.
And I think it's funny to see the pivoting that's already happening within Bears training camp because the favorite game of all the beat writers, it seems to be, is to be the first one to be right. The first one, and we've talked about this many times over the years.
And to be right about the white wide receiver.
Well, those two things, yeah. To be right that the Bears suck, which is not going out far on a limb, but they seem to really get joy in it, to be the first one to tell you that this is a bad team. And from the opening of camp, it felt like there was a rush, a cavalcade, if you will, of people trying to tell you about how bad things have been. Or how bad things are, and how it's not going to get better,
And you should all kill
because,
yourselves.
yeah, it was a lot of projection, felt like, from and picking at old scars, which is not fair to Ben at all, because it's his first camp and it's a completely different era. So that to me was annoyance number one. And then as we've moved along in camp, particularly the practice that I believe was couple days ago, the training camp practice heard around the world
Never been one like it.
that Brad Biggs was drooling about, that Doug Buffon has risen from the grave,
Oh, buddy.
because
He's
they
jogging back down Michigan Avenue in his bell bottoms.
Did he bring Walter with him?
Of course.
Because of the physicality of practice, and all of a sudden now everything seems to be turning in the way that people are not accustomed to around here.
Well, John, I want to interject real quick.
Go ahead.
And as some know, I've been on vacation this week. I haven't been following the coverage quite as closely as I was, although I did hear about the practice heard around the world.
It was heard around the world. Of course you heard about it.
Well, yeah, I couldn't. How could you miss it?
You were in the world.
I was still in the world.
Even as
I
even
think.
even if you know Myrtle Beach kind of is as tangential to the world as one can get.
Well, from my hour stay in Myrtle Beach, I can tell you, white trash is all fuck. Anyway, but back to the matter at hand. I think
okay,
there's
Snoop
a
Dogg.
Difference, and we tend to react the same way to both. I think there's a difference when a Bears beat says Caleb Williams missed a couple throws on during practice, and Caleb Williams missed a couple throws in practice, therefore he sucks. So, you know, I don't, like, I feel like we, especially we, this podcast, we get upset at any reporting from practice because practice stats are stupid, and we,
it's
I
where
think
you're supposed to screw up.
Right, I think a lot of fans, like, take any description of, just a description of what's happening as an interpretation of what's happening, and I'm not sure that's the case. Case in point, I feel like Kevin Fishbane just kind of tells you what's happening. But then
yes,
today,
I've grown to appreciate his musings.
And I know how this sounds, but then I saw a headline today, and I know she doesn't write the headlines, but Courtney Cronin's article is it time to worry about Caleb Williams? It's like, we haven't...
Today?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And it's like, we haven't even played one preseason quarter. What are we doing? What are we doing here?
I don't care what his preseason quarters look like.
Right.
That doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything. So I want a different... Now, I feel like Brad Biggs also... You know, oh, the offense didn't close their 2-minute drive in practice today, 5-12.
He likes it. Yeah. Biggs is pretty sneering in his.
Yeah. So for all of us, for the eight of you who listen to us, I feel like it's important to have some literacy when it comes to Bears coverage and just read who's just telling you what happened and who's trying to get out in front so they look smarter. Anyway, back to you.
Hey, can I had to find this article because I was surprised based on listening to her radio spots pretty much every day for the last 2 weeks. She's very level-headed about the way she reports on this stuff. She just says a lot of the same shit over and over again. It's not her fault.
Right.
She does a good job. She knows what she's talking about. Somebody called her out on Elon's website here for the article, and her response was, "Use your reading comprehension and read the story, not just a headline that I didn't write. I know you can do it."
And I prefaced it with that, and I read the story, and the headline is a little more sensational, but she's also doing a little more than she lets on there, where she's trying to interpret practice results, and I just don't... I think that's stupid.
It's incredibly stupid, and especially when the results are based on a guy who's learning a brand new thing that's arguably the most complex thing he's ever going to learn.
I don't even think it's arguable. It is.
Fair enough. Factually, the hardest thing he's going to learn. And this is not going to be
unless
a
Mike Martz walks through that door.
Sure, route trees. It's not going to be a 1 year, especially not a one training camp process, unfortunately. I wish it was. So, like John and I have said this in the text thread, and I think we've said this on the show multiple times, like, Poles has 5 years. Ben Johnson has 5 years. They obviously won't get 5 years if things are going poorly. But...
Right.
They've got at least two, if not three, full seasons with this quarterback to figure it out, whatever it is.
Yeah, I think I wrote about this last week a little bit in the newsletter. My biggest annoyance from what I have read during camp so far is that at the beginning of camp, every Bears beat writer couldn't wait to tell us how much Caleb missed out on last year in his rookie year, what should have happened in his rookie year, what he should have learned, what he should have been doing. Then there shouldn't be any shock that there's an adjustment period in this one. Because if you're saying he was underserved and he missed out on stuff, well, then as he catches up in year two with Ben Johnson, it's not like an instant thing. It's not like an overnight cram session.
It's also just like insane how I don't remember this being a focus the way it is this year. And it's just the offense that they talk about pretty much every day. It's the offense. It's how do they look? What did they do? It's
who the hell is
national
he?
News.
Who the hell you is got, he?
It's on every day. I feel like the FS1 assholes are talking about it. I feel like the other day a viral thread about the Netgate thing happened.
Sky point to Park's career, by the way.
I'm sure his career will be fine, but
one of the stupidest things, and people were going running with that thing all morning. Really taking a dump on Caleb Williams. It was prefaced with, you know, he had the 29th best non-under pressure completion or percentage or accuracy rating or some bullshit.
Oh, so made up numbers.
just like, yes. Yeah, well, again, like, we've talked about this numerous times. We talked about this before last season. We talked about it after the season. If you insert a competent head coach where there wasn't one, there's probably 3-4 extra wins per season the last 2 years. It's as simple as that. That's it. There's no, you can take all this other shit, throw it all around in a blender. You got all this different stuff going on, whatever you want to do, but that's the fact. And that's with this roster, which is now a little bit better. I would probably say
I would hope it's more than a little. It's like, we could even be more conservative than that. We could, and we've done this show, so we don't have to rehash it totally. We could just say, look, with a real coach, it's 2 more wins.
You're saying if you're and again, my 0-17 bit is just for my protection.
So it's your own personal sanity.
It's my protection to say they're going to suck until they don't. That's fine. But right. The reality is, if you're predicting that this Bears team is somehow going to win 5 games, you're saying that Ben Johnson is not an upgrade over Matt Eberflus, which I just refuse to believe.
Can't possibly be.
It's not true, because I've never heard people react to what he's saying every day and doing the way I'm hearing them react to what he's doing and what he's saying. It's never been done. No one's ever gotten up there and said, this was bad and we need to fix it. They go up there and they say, yeah, it's fine. Everything's coming together.
It was a great day of practice. Great day of practice.
Great day. Yeah. Nothing. These guys get up there and they tell you the truth. Dennis Allen gets up there. I love this guy already. He's great. He's just like, yeah, we're getting close. We're not quite there. You know, there's some things I like, some things I don't.
It's like, you mentioned the most annoying aspect. When the national shows and press get a hold of this stuff, they're not there. And they're just going off whatever vibes they want to read into
a clip or
exactly. And reading the comments section of Reddit or
right,
which is again our bit,
right? That is our bit. But so the national guys are probably just reading the beat writers just saying what's going on.
It's all aggregation. Yeah.
And then they're just like, oh, I'm gonna interpret this as Caleb sucks because that fills the air that we have to fill better than it's a normal training camp practice, and this is kind of what it always looks like.
And again, I'm obviously not watching, like Good Morning Football. I'm not, to be clear, I'm not watching, you know, ESPN. I'm not watching The Herd.
Not yet. At least.
Well, I guess my point is, I don't know what they're saying about other training camps, but it feels like the Bears training camp is being more heavily. I haven't heard one thing about Detroit. Not one.
Well, they've got it all figured out.
They might not even be having a training camp.
They were the biggest loser franchise in the history of the NFL, but they won the division 2 years in a row, so everything's fine now.
Everything's fine.
Yeah, they discovered how to win and wint, and they're fine. Right.
And losing their two coordinators won't affect them at all.
There's always going to be more national attention because Ben Johnson was the hot coach in Canada, and he finally landed somewhere. Wherever he went, people would be a little more focused on it. And the opinions are only going to get dumber after Sunday. We record on Thursday night. Have they said how much they're going to play, if at all?
No, not yet.
They haven't
not
said. And
they said it's dependent on... Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Andrew.
Oh, I was going to... No, you're right. They have not said. Caleb said today he doesn't know yet. Ben will tell him eventually. But you have to realize they're not going to get dumber Sunday. They're going to get dumber tomorrow because of this joint practice where people are going to put all these projections onto... Whatever happens, and John, I'll let you say it because you say it best. What happened last year?
Yeah, they made the Bengals look like a college team.
Yep.
In 3 days.
Yep.
And a preseason game. And how did that matter in the least?
None.
Bengals had, the Bengals had the best offense in the NFL. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Doesn't mean shit. So enjoy tomorrow's scrimmage with the Dolphins.
The notes you'll get.
That being said, if the pads are cracking and the Bears look good against John's guys, Dolphins.
John's guys.
Well, it'll put a little pep in our step for sure.
It'll heat the peppers.
It's like anything else. You want them to look good versus not looking good, obviously. But it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, especially because this Dolphins outfit, John's guy wants to die.
He said it.
Again, another person stealing our bit.
Right. He's actively wishing for death. I think his entire team is either wishing for their own death or his death or both. So it shouldn't be that hard for the Bears, who seem genuinely excited to be part of this. Everyone loves Ben. They should be pasting the Dolphins up and down that field for Friday and Sunday. I assume they have the day off on Saturday.
They had the day off yesterday.
No days off.
That's a lot of days off, but who knows?
No days off and no Italians. I know the rules. But,
I believe that what I read today was that Caleb's playing time will be in indicative of how these two practices go. They feel if Ben feels like he left something out on the field at the practice, he's going to make him play. If he plays well in the practice, then we probably won't see him.
Yeah, they view these practice reps and this joint practice, they view that as like real reps. They don't necessarily need the preseason for that. I think for this staff, they view the preseason game as a chance for them to do like a rehearsal as a coaching staff, because they've never worked together before. That's really what's important here.
Yeah, no one has a fail-proof system for how the preseason works. You know, I send you guys Tanier's breakdown of what the preseason looked like for every team, and it's like some teams don't play anybody and it's fine, and some teams play their guys and it's fine, and vice versa. Some guys don't play their teams and they show up in week 1, they look terrible. I don't think anyone knows how to thread this needle perfectly, especially because they just changed it only a few years ago. So I'm excited. You know, the first preseason game is just about seeing the colors back on the field.
Yeah, just like, knowing that the season is getting close now.
There's blue and orange on my television screen, and it feels good.
And on the horizon.
Jim Other Miller's here. Lou Kanellis.
Right.
Jim Miller's heavily breathing into the microphone.
If he's not eating it.
His largesse on display.
Stacey Dale's on the sidelines now.
Hello. No, is she on the sidelines or in the booth?
I thought
coming out of the booth.
I read it that she was gonna. It was a 3-person booth, and she would be there next to Jim Miller, hopefully not getting eaten by him either. But
nudged out of frame, at least.
Perhaps I read it wrong.
Phrasing, Sam. Jesus.
Indeed. I apologize to everyone about that.
You were fine. That's me just making you look bad. All right.
Well, anyway, we've gotten, you know, we get a lot of mileage out about bitching about the actual coverage of the Bears, but let's talk about the Bears themselves. John, where are we at?
Oh, we're feeling good, Sam.
Are we?
The vibes are increasing every day. I feel like
Are our juice levels?
The juice levels are where they should be at this point of the season. We're not, you know, to the point where we're ready to burst. But we're getting excited.
Nor would you want to be.
No.
In the first week of August.
What is the temperature of your peppers?
Mild. Mild. At this
point. They're not like Jim's original.
No, not Jim's giant peppers. I think that this is a really interesting training camp, because it feels like an actual NFL training camp. I think last year with Hard Knocks, we were trying to buy into the vibes. We were hoping, whereas this feels more like real. What's coming out of camp, what we're hearing.
What could possibly be the difference?
No bullshit.
Yeah, there's no BS. And like Andrew was saying, Ben will get up there and tell you after each session exactly how it went. There's no, you don't really need to read between the lines or try to find tea leaves in reporter tweets. He'll tell you if he was satisfied or not with how the team played. And more often than not, he said that they've been pretty good. And when they're not good, he calls them out. And then the next day, they respond. So that, to me, has been the biggest one of the bigger positives that I've seen come out of the training camp is that, okay, these players clearly have bought into their coach. And that is already what you need to have at this point of training camp, is that everybody is on the same page, or at least that's the way it feels right now.
Because you don't have a guy like when the beat writers, they're at the practice. They're watching it happen. And when they see a fuck up, they know. It's pretty obvious. And they're not being lied to when they get in front of the podium and they're told, no, that was fine. He's like, yeah, that was not good. You saw my reaction and we're going to work on it. And it needs to get better.
And if you're in the wrong spot, you're getting your ass kicked off the field.
on John the second, just wants the to be there when Ben kicks someone off the field.
Yeah.
If you can just be there one time when Ben kicks someone off the field, you'd die a happy man. You'd
and just like, yell at the top of his lungs, take a hike.
Here, if you want a real temp check on the way things are going, I think Montez's gun is holstered.
Yeah, right. That's the it other might thing. Even be in the box.
Montez has never been be more satisfied as a Bear. We can put the gun away for temporary for the time being.
Yeah,
Montez's. I'd forgotten about Montez's gun.
So is he
good
for now?
Still
the same stuff still remains question marks, right? I mean, like, we still don't know if they're gonna how they're gonna be able to handle running the ball with kind of an underwhelming running back room. I think the scheme will be a lot better. I think the other question is the pass rush on the other side of Montez, right? I think that's a question mark. But you got some good coaches to make that schemed up a little bit better than it has been in the past. Not that. Go ahead, John.
No, I was going to go back to the practice heard around the world. So if you want to finish your thought.
Yeah, no, that's it. That's great. Let's do it.
The practice heard around the world. One thing that the biggest takeaway for me from that is, you know, the Bears have given a lot of lip service to their culture and establishing a culture and all this other bull crap that doesn't mean anything. You know, painting the walls at Hallis Hall is not establishing a culture. That practice, that's how you establish a culture. So if anybody had gotten hurt in that, and Cole Kmet ended up getting a little ouchy, but he was back on the field today. I know Andrew and I are in agreement here. It would have been well worth it if anybody hit, other than probably Caleb. I think anybody else in injury, I would have been fine with, because
Jalen's already out.
That's right. How you establish your culture is by beating the fuck out of each other and then coming back the next day and doing it again.
Johnny Meatballs in the house.
My only thing when you guys started going off about the practice heard around the world, let me tell the folks behind the curtain, John and Slack were just over the moon. The texts are flying.
I believe that on Blue Sky, Andrew just simply quote tweeted something, quote post, whatever, just set with "I'm horny."
Yeah,
correct. And I was.
But and this is just because I'm like you, Slack. I'm trying to protect myself. My first thought was, oh, this is why the Lions always end up so hurt. You know, like,
yeah, but they
is,
still win 14 games.
But they still win 14 process. Games, which we obviously will take.
That's what we want. And you don't have to do this every year. This is not training camp needs to be every year. But you need to do it at some point so that this is how you establish the culture.
Or then constantly the core players, every year, once a year, like everyone's got to know, all right, like, the hell's coming to breakfast today.
Right.
And the players and certainly didn't seem to mind. There was no, hey, we got to save ourselves.
They loved it.
They were into it.
Every guy they asked that day was like, this is how we should practice every day. This was fantastic.
Right.
They're like, Roshan, are you hurting? He's like, I could do this every day. No problem.
So
it's great.
I'm sure, you know, coming right before the Dolphins show up to Hallis Hall and right before the first preseason game, it's all part of the plan. Get at least the third, you know, the twos and the threes who will play most of Sunday riled up, get the fans a little more into it. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to protect myself, but I'm looking forward to it. And we know Ben in these preseason games isn't going to give anything away.
I'm interested to see, though. I do want to see what do they run? What are the are they just going to do, like, outside zone runs the entire time? Like, maybe. I want to see what that looks like, and I want to see, you know, the battles for some of the position stuff. I think it'll be interesting to see who plays the most at left tackle. I think it'll be
pretty well settled at this point, but yeah.
Well, not if you know, Mr. Ozzy Osbourne goes out there and shits the bed.
Well, true. If he against a different color jersey, if he looks terrible.
If then, he looks like Kareem or Karan did in his little cameo last year, just outmatched in every way, like then maybe
unprepared.
That was just horrible. That poor fucker. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm interested to see how it goes. I'm definitely interested to see this defense too. I think Dennis has got, he's selling me a big package here. I feel like.
Whoa, okay, wait a minute. I got yelled at about my phrasing. Oh. Hang on a second.
You know, you gotta bring the juice on the phrasing. I don't know.
Bring the juice about his big package.
Yeah. I think it'll be very, very cool to see what this looks like. And again, I'm not expecting, you know, a 12-win team here. Obviously, I'm still going to say 0-17, but.
Oh, right. We should tease the kids. Our most popular podcast is only, what, 3 weeks away?
Oh, boy. Indeed. Yep. Coming up fast. Another thing on the horizon.
So many things on the horizon.
That's right.
Including the Rosemont horizon.
We're Sam Skype landed. The name was where I was basically shuttled to after I landed.
We talked a little about coverage of the Bears, but I did do a little deep dive to see the rest of the NFC North, and I know I shared it on the real show, but I figured I'd share it with the kids as well, because it is interesting to see how other markets are covering their team, and in particularly the NFC North, because those are the teams that matter the most in the Bears world at this point. So without further ado, I can dive into that.
Please.
Okay. So we'll start in Green Bay, where all the coverage has been from their fan fest. Everybody is losing their shit over some undrafted defensive back who had 5 interceptions at their fan fest.
Okay.
And I couldn't help but think about if something like that had happened here, there is no way they would be commending that defensive back. It would be, it would be, the story would be the offense is the biggest piece of shit that's ever walked the face of the earth.
Right.
This is going to be a disaster of a season. They're going to do Andrew's 0-17 bit. What they would do. If you had 5 interceptions in a practice all thrown to the same guy, people would be mocking every quarterback on the Bears. It would be the lead story on FS1 or whatever, along with Caleb's practice highlights.
Yeah, probably.
And to be fair, they are mocking all the Bears quarterbacks, and they have been for my entire life. But yes.
But it would be, yeah. So that's all Green Bay. That's their big thing right now is this guy that put on a performance at their fan fest with 5 interceptions. Never mind the fact that all 3 of the QBs contributed to those 5 interceptions.
Boy, Packer fan fest must be a real time.
Yeah, you got your summer looks. You really get some fashion inspiration out there. You got all kinds of handsome people.
Well, those are all the people that have probably been priced out. So just imagine how is.
Yeah, those people have good genes too.
You mean big genes?
Big? Yeah, I think I mean big genes.
Huge.
All right, take us
up in Minnesota.
Now I've caught some of this, but I want to hear what John has to say.
So a lot of the coverage is similar to what's happening here, but to a more, I would say, intense scrutiny than even what Caleb is facing. They are breaking down every drill that J.J. McCarthy is doing. They are watching Kevin O'Connell's reaction to everything that's happening, and the biggest reaction that Kevin O'Connell made in a practice was when J.J. McCarthy made a correct read on the positioning of a DB's foot, and then that led to a first down completion. And apparently he erupted in celebration and, like, did the Bears running backs coach of running out on the field to celebrate with J.J. McCarthy for making this happen. Now, if that happened, again, I'm looking at it through the filter of my Bears fan perspective, and if that happened here, we would all be saying, this coach thinks the quarterback's a moron and sucks. Yeah. He's trying to hype him up this much.
You know what, John? I may be getting out of my skis here, but from what I see, and I'm with you here, and I'm going to take it a step further. Everything I read about J.J. McCarthy at Vikings camp is not just the babied language we got with Caleb last year. It's the babied language we saw with Justin Fields. It's babied language we saw with Mitch Trubisky. Where everyone's like, well, you know, it doesn't look great yet, but he's picking it up. You know, everything's coming slowly. The coach running down the field over a first down throw. Things getting celebrated that don't sound that impressive. That's what it sounds like to me. Now, I want it to sound like that because I want J.J. McCarthy to be a bust. But
even coming,
you know,
from Sam's Michigan.
Even coming from Michigan. But I've heard all this stuff before. Those bells go off. I've heard all this. I know what it sounds like.
Here's the other thing I'll say about the Vikings. And you know, this is just teasing the preview show, our best show or second best show of the year.
No, that's the best show.
So the Vikings last year, they won 13 games or 14 games?
14.
Getting MVP play out of their quarterback, and essentially they're bringing back the exact same team with the exception of a different quarterback. So I'm stumped at how they intend to get better. How could they possibly top that? I mean, and get worse quarterback play? Because I don't think he can match the season that Darnold put together last year, even in anybody's wildest dreams.
There's no way, right?
Right. No.
Anyways,
no way.
That's just a sneak peek for my Vikings thoughts for our schedule.
All right. Well, now you got to swing out on the other side of Lake Michigan.
And now I'm going to Detroit, which is eerily quiet. Their coverage is essentially what is the 53-man roster going to be? There's no talk about – no concern at all about the offense or defense, which lost both of their coordinators to head coaching jobs. There's no concern about anything. They're worried about who's making the 53-man.
I mean, that's what happens when you're good, right?
I guess, for two seasons.
Yeah, but they lost their all-pro anchor of their line, though. Like, no, they
already,
they could
already.
Like, there's no, well, like, no one could account for that. Like, he just up and retired out of nowhere. So,
see ya, bitch.
Yeah, I mean, we don't, no one knows anything. We won't know until they kick it for real, but we appreciate the insight, John. We'll see how once we get this weekend over and JJ's actually got to get out there and do something, you know, we'll hear more of the same language.
Yeah, I mean, if he does what he did last year in the preseason when everybody lost their mind over, you know, some hitting guys that were 30 yards wide open against the Raiders.
Against the Raiders threes.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be the same thing, but we'll see what happens.
But we know the buzzwords.
Indeed, we do.
We've been through it too many times.
Indeed, we do. We know the tea leaves. We know the red flags. We are experts in this.
All right, then. Well, let me preface for the kids. Usually, I have pretty good idea of what we're going to do, what the guys want to come in with the show with. I am flying blind on America's favorite segment about to come here. A visit to Hawks Reddit. I don't know exactly what is going to come here, but they've been building it up. They're pretty excited about this one, so we'll all find out together.
Yeah, I might excuse me.
Yes.
I might have John
clumped.
Yeah, a little bit. John, you'll tag team in on this with me if you have it up.
Absolutely.
I think this is pretty funny. I just – this group of people don't understand why the second worst team in hockey for, what, 3 years running now is always criticized? Like, that doesn't seem to make sense to them.
They can't believe it.
They cannot believe it. So the Athletic released their contract efficiency rubric, which
– anti-labor –
Which kind of is.
Yes,
yeah, okay. Sure. Which ranked the Blackhawks 31st out of 32 teams.
Okay.
Generously.
You know, there's nothing.
They got
but
pantsed in a trade by the 32nd team.
Well, our friend, our great friend, the Schwartz Hockey here, is going to have to be commended for his post. And I'm going to read this whole thing because he is. I'm going to unveil something about this person. That we did not know. So, first of all, the entire subreddit seems to think Mark Lazarus has some sort of vendetta against the Blackhawks, which is hilarious.
Right.
So, Schwartz Hockey chimes in. This whole thing is honestly laughable. One D-plus contract, which we acquired in a trade, which could have tremendous upside, depending on whether he bounces back to pre-injury performance, shouldn't average the entire scorecard to a D-plus. I'm going to pause there real quick.
Yeah, please.
There's a D-plus contract, which we acquired in a trade. I'm curious, who made the trade? Was it the same guy who signed all the other contracts, or was it a different guy?
Was there any sweeteners thrown in, perchance?
Did somebody force him to make this trade? At gunpoint, perhaps? I'm not understanding. Because it was acquired in a trade, does it not count as a bad contract on your roster? What is the logic here, Mr. Schwartz? Moving on.
The D plus contract, by the way, is
Burkowski.
Yes, it's Burkowski. Sorry, I thought that was understood.
So Lyshushin, right? Dom? Is the one doing
correct.
This?
Correct.
Dom with the syllables.
He doesn't even rate Bertuzzi's contract as D+.
Correct.
Even though it is.
Because Bertuzzi scored some goals last year. So if you weren't watching him do nothing for chunks of the season, you wouldn't know.
Right.
Regardless, continuing on with this post. God damn it. This is going to piss everybody off. Nick Foligno is being a great steward for the younger players, particularly in a role as a surrogate father figure, making sure that the underage players are staying out of trouble and having inclusivity. We're not paying him to be a great player, but he still puts in a ton of effort every night. His biggest issue is that in his aging, his athletic abilities no longer can keep up with the level of effort he wants to give. What the fuck are you talking about? Is this a poem?
This is fan fiction.
Is this a love letter?
This is fan fiction.
When are Jeffler and Dangle going to walk in?
That is disturbing. All right, moving on. The fact that the values for Knight and Soderblom are so far apart is insane. Their save percentage was roughly equal,
Soderblom.
Soderblom. I can't say his name anymore. It's been that long.
Been to Scandinavia a lot?
Not Sweden. Their save percentage was roughly equal, and Soderblom last year showed that he had a great resilience and an ability to adjust his game to phenomenal results. I think he showed us he might have a higher ceiling than anyone realized.
Phenomenal.
Plus, I don't understand how underpaying Donato by $500,000 a year is somehow only a B-. The Athletic is a joke. Plus, Lazarus lost credibility with me when he kept telling fans directly on X, including myself, that he was working with his sources and they were going to fix the CBH Shop Winter Classic Pro Jersey pre-order debacle. And the CBH Shop manager straight up said Lazarus didn't know what he was talking about and that none of what he said was happening was actually happening. In short, the Athletic might as well be the Detroit Red Wings and the St. Louis Blues combined because they suck and fuck them. This is like a 50-year-old guy with a ponytail writing this. I just want to point this out.
I don't even know what the what debacle?
He's mad about merch.
And
he's owed.
That doesn't sound like Lazarus, that he was going to work with his sources to fix a winter.
That sounded like he was making the beat off motion while he was typing it.
That's absolutely what it sounds like.
All right, now it's time for the big reveal.
Okay.
Someone replies, Laz is garbage, pure garbage. It's not that he's a bad writer. He's sanctimonious. He's right about everything and we're a bunch of idiots. But what do you expect? He's a Mets fan. Schwartz Hockey replies,
true.
I'm sadly a Mets fan too. Worse, I'm also a New York Jets fan. Glad I didn't get into hockey until my adult life. I could have ended up an Islanders fan.
You still can.
it's available to you.
We're learning so much about this person, and I wish I knew none of it. But now you all have to know it too.
I'm just going to say here, I'm guessing in this person's lifetime, the Islanders have won more cups than the Hawks.
Well, I've seen a picture of this guy, so you'd be correct, because he is at least 45, 50 years old at this point.
Right, so...
Unless you know any young men who have skullets tied back in ponytails, I don't.
I do. I know two of them. They're the youngest men alive.
Fair enough.
So, well, I guess I don't know where to begin.
That's as bad as it gets.
Oh, I got more comments for you though.
Okay.
Good ones in here. Some shorter ones for sure. Foligno isn't as bad as it says. I think his leadership and mentorship is worth a lot.
Yeah, towards being
like,
cap
compliant. What's it worth?
How many of those?
Why are we still talking about this fucking guy? What is happening?
Again, every time this gets brought up. And I know that no one on the Reddit listens to this podcast unless they want to be actively pissed off, and welcome to it.
Or we are sending our listeners to the Reddit to actively piss them off.
Right. Foligno's leadership was so good that Ryan Donato and Connor Murphy called a team meeting with four games to go. To say this isn't going to work.
There's no explaining this to these people or to management. Like again, this whole thing, like, and this devotion to this person and this plan that has provided less than nothing and has arguably taken steps back. Like, yeah. I'm, you know, not to, you know, get to the existential crisis portion of the program, but like, I don't want to watch this.
No,
I don't want to cover this.
Well, they've already made the excuses they're pre-baked in for an entire next season at this
indeed.
Point too.
But so. John, you probably had more you wanted to get through.
Oh, I can go all day here. there was another one here. How many of these players would be listed on the future playoff team 3 to 4 years from now?
Oh,
maybe
my God.
Two or three. By the way, if it is 3 or 4 years before a playoff, that's approaching Buffalo levels of incompetence. Rebuild or not, it's been long enough. Okay, so he sort of gets it, but also is a moron.
I think that guy gets it. Yeah,
but he wasn't getting downvoted to shit, so he probably.
Well, he's not you.
No, so somebody else
or
is
Andrew.
Getting downvoted by saying
once El Duque's raft comes up for air again, the downvotes follow.
This has got to be one of our guys. This sub has a baked-in excuse for everything KD does, all caps. Basically a cult convincing themselves that things aren't as terrible as they really are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
and
one of our
getting
guys.
Downvoted,
that's one of ours. Yeah.
Getting downvoted to hell.
Where we live. Mm-hmm. Where we are.
That's pretty much it. I mean,
okay. Well,
on the bright side, Donato is signed and Knight is a stud. Okay.
Yeah, stud.
Not, but how will he usurp the position from the phenomenal Arvid Soderblom?
Right. How can he possibly usurp the position from the phenomenal Arvid Soderblom?
People are going to be in for a rude awakening with Spencer Knight next year, I think. And
you think he's getting lit up?
Yes. I think that is going to be rough.
I think he's still going to be about 900, but like they're just going to get inundated. They're going to get submerged again, as they have for the last fucking decade.
Here's the thing. If he gets off to a slow start, like as we've talked about, when they get
he's a loon.
Caved in, right, when they get caved in at the beginning of the season, it's going to be really hard for him to get that save percentage back up to 90 if he starts off the year at, you know, 75.
I think
the
that's
old Roman
Chekmonic
special.
You?
I do.
Yes, we put the Hawks in the box, but America's favorite segment never goes in the box.
No, we'll always bring them out of the box temporarily for America's favorite segment if it's called for.
Mm-hmm.
Which
and
this
it,
was.
Indeed it was.
And this one, these people. I'm not the world's biggest Dom Lashushin fan, but you know everything he says, he tends to back up with hard evidence.
Well,
even if it's made up numbers, I agree with you guys. It's always shocking that people are so upset that any writer would call the team that's finished in the bottom two for three straight years and is aiming to do it for a fourth.
Like, what do you not, want them to say
what,
about this team?
What do you
team?
Want them to say? Oh, yeah, they're doing great.
I don't understand.
Great. Like,
they have
a lot of rookie
contracts. Only ones
that they're not taking advantage of.
Right.
And
they're going to put one in fucking Rockford again.
Yeah, and their top – gun has underperformed in two seasons.
Yeah, you know what, John? You're right. Dom, who wrote the article, didn't realize how many ELCs there are. He has no idea what that even is. Thank you for pointing it out, Reddit.
Yep.
So many ELCs because they hand out playoff berths on how many ELCs you have on your roster.
Well, you win the Stanley Cap.
First of all, indeed. Someone should tell Dom, who spends all day looking at fucking cap friendly or whatever, what is an ELC?
Wikipedia now.
He doesn't even know. He doesn't know. You're the smart ones. He's a dumbass. Thanks. Thank you.
And the Athletic has no credibility for not resolving my customer service issue.
Exactly. That's exactly right. What a freak of nature that guy is. Holy fuck.
Thank you for playing.
Is Schwartz Hockey, is he Hockey Brunch? Is that the same guy?
No.
Because he's also a Jersey and merch pervert.
He is, big time. But he's not the same. I know who the brunch man is, and he's different than
all right. Well, let's
photo that.
Let's
Andrew
open
sent.
Open up the channels here. Do we have some?
I've only got a couple. I only have a couple.
I didn't. I was too busy. I couldn't send out.
I did get some.
Oh, buddy, okay. I had things.
Oh, John's got things. All right, we'll start.
No,
with John.
You had things. I'm imitating you.
Oh yeah, I got things. Yeah,
you had things, buddy. Things. So you didn't get
to
it.
All right, well, we'll start with Slack.
All right. I'm gonna ask this one to the group since I'm not qualified to answer it. Blaze Weedman asks, how bad is Taves going to be?
Oh man. I guess that depends on expectations.
I don't know. Is his Euromycetitis flaring up in the Alberta humidity?
Yeah, his chakras are misaligned.
I think the ceiling is effective fourth line center. I think the most
he'll be
likely
given, he'll be given all the rope.
I think the most likely outcome is he looks way off the pace in October, and they just sort of
face off specialist.
Yeah, first he goes on the injured list with some mysterious thing.
Yeah,
and it just kind of fades into the background,
into oblivion,
into Bolivia.
Mm-hmm.
John, does that sound about right?
It's hard to argue against that. I think Matt said it, that they're going to give him, or Andrew, they're going to give him every opportunity to stick.
Oh, I have no doubts he'll play every preseason game they have, and he'll, but...
I forget the terms of his contract, when it becomes guaranteed. I think it's after 20 games.
Well, no, it's bonus heavy.
Yeah. But they do have to make some... yeah, that's right. It's like, I think... After 20 games, then every 10 games after that, he's making increment amounts. I have a hard time seeing it get past those 20 games, but I don't know. Weirder things have happened, and they'll probably try to make it work.
Yeah, everyone knows how I feel about Jonathan Taves. I kind of just want it to fade out like that, just because of all the bullshit that will come with it. I just would rather it not be around. I don't want to feel compelled to write about it. I don't want to feel compelled to talk about it.
I think the quiet, like, weird injury thing is most likely. That makes the most sense. Like, oh, he's got some
sending him to a specialist. And,
it's 2 million base, up to 5 in bonuses.
His itis hurts.
Did you say you have a second one, Slack?
I got a couple, yeah. I guess this one is for Sam. With Sohn and Mueller coming to MLS, which current aging or European player would make you happiest to see play for the Fire?
Oh, geez. I haven't really thought about it. I'd rather not see any of them, honestly. I don't think it's the best way to go about it.
No, it's not.
Obviously, Salah is not really a consideration because he'll go to Saudi Arabia. I don't think
a guy like him wants to be in America anytime soon.
Yeah, I can't see that happening.
A guy like him.
Yeah, very good.
What do you mean, you people?
Right. Lautaro Martinez?
Oh, there's a good one. That's a great call. He would score 100 goals.
Yeah. I don't know that the Fire necessarily need a striker, but he jumps off the list. I feel like he probably just wants to go replace Suarez in Miami.
Who doesn't?
I'll think about that one.
All right.
But yeah, I don't. I'd rather the Fire use that slot and money for some kid out of South America who plays defensive midfield, and they can eventually sell on for $30 million or something.
Yep.
Although money's because I don't think the Fire. When they're good, they're decent enough now, they don't really have a ticket sales problem. And they certainly won't when the new stadium opens. So
right. It'll just look better because it won't be sparse.
Right.
No, that's fair. Hi, I'm Bob Ladon asks, why should anyone care about the Blackhawks while everything is so shitty and the Bears are so red fucking hot?
You answered your own question.
He's right, and he should say it.
I'm gonna answer this with my favorite Slack tweet of the past couple of months. The children are starving. for hot MLS coverage.
That's right.
All right, Matt, did you have anything we need to get to?
Just a couple. I mean,
okay.
Whitey, 83, a longtime guy. Has your hiatus provided all of you a renewed and rejuvenated sense of purpose in thinking and talking about the Chicago Blackhawks? Has it helped you realize that perhaps you'd be happier to never do so again?
Yes, absolutely. But this is what we're sentenced to do, so we're going to do it.
I think the Reddit thing has given the season life in a way that I didn't think was possible. So, like,
just to see the yoga poses,
I'm mildly, disturbingly interested in this season. Even though the team will stink, it's the comments that I'm there for. Those will keep me going.
That's
to quote Gwen DeMarco. I have one job on this ship. It's stupid. But I'm going to do it.
Perfect.
All right. And I suppose last one, longtime guy, Michael H. Henny 88. What is your favorite out of town food specialty, i.e. Philly cheesesteak, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Philly cheesesteak, bottom of the list, Travis, bitch.
Wow. That's a little bad
harsh.
Example.
I mean, let's not take it out on the cheesesteak.
Bad example though. If you know your history,
cheesesteak's fine. Beef is superior. I know.
Yeah,
you
so
know,
cheesesteak is
though.
A good sandwich, but it's not the end all be all.
No whiz. Just give me the fucking onions.
Your buffalo wings count as an out of town specialty?
I don't know.
Technically,
I've never been to the place in Buffalo that you're supposed.
Well,
to
Well, the
go,
Anchor
so
Bar is a chain now. There's one out in fucking Oswego by my parents.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't had a lot of, you know, I haven't had proper KC barbecue in Kansas City. I've never been to Kansas City.
Barbecue anywhere is going to be Kansas City barbecue, good. Carolina barbecue, real good.
Good, yeah. You know, I had lobster in Maine. It was fine. Let me think. I mean, you know, the pizza in Italy obviously is something to behold. I'm not sure exactly what...
I mean, a real New York slice while you're walking here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean,
those are good.
Those are great. Yeah.
What barbecue in Texas? That was special.
You want the brisket in Texas?
If I have to answer this, the Heart 8 barbecue in Dallas, that was an experience. So that's what I'll go with.
Yeah, Dallas has very little value, but their barbecue.
Yes, very little, but that
is something.
That was something.
Same with Austin. Very good barbecue. Damn.
The pizza in St. Louis.
I don't think this counts, but whenever Emily and I are in LA, there's the place Kazunori that does hand rolls that are extremely good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think hand rolls are unique to LA, but that place is, and it's something else. So
is that it, Matt, or we got one more?
No, that's it.
Okay.
I was going to say queso in Houston, whatever.
Well, we are glad to be back. We will be back. I mean, we will be here every week now. It is go time.
Oh yeah.
For the beloved. So we will have our thoughts on Sunday's opening practice tilt. But until then,
Sam will be at fifth third before you know it.
Indeed. For Slack, for John, for Matt. I am Sam. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Please rate, review, and share. Until then, Top Guys, out.